T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Holy crap. That's how you describe Monday night. Holy crap if you're a New York Islander fan, it's deja vu, holy crap. Holy crap if you're a Knicks fan, you witnessed, and this is what I feel good about. If you are 35 and under, you're sick and tired of hearing about the LJ four-point play. If you're 35 and under, you're sick of hearing about the 90s. If you are 35 and under, damn it, if you're any age, Knicks fan, you got your moment now. You've got something now that you will remember for the rest of time. That sequence last night, Tiki, between the Islanders collapsing, basically they played the last 25 minutes like they wanted the clock to hit triple zeros. Between the Islanders blowing a 3-goal lead, blowing the lead late after that timeout by Carolina, and then going behind, and then fights break out, and then an empty netter, combined with the Knick chaos of the last 27 seconds, last night in New York sports is one of those nights that will live forever.
Yeah, happy Passover, everybody.
Happy Passover, yes.
Because a lot of Knicks fans probably weren't watching it, or at least the Jewish Knicks fans weren't watching it. Dude, this was one of those games where if they lose, the only thing we're going to talk about is how bad Jalen Brunson has been in these first two games.
Correct.
Because his 16 for what, 55, whatever the number is. It's
29%
ridiculous.
From the field, 16% right. From three, it's, 37% true shooting percentage.
It is like, what in the hell happened to this should be in the MVP conversation star that the Knicks have been leaning on for the last month or so of the regular season into the playoffs? And you almost start to say he just doesn't have that clutch gene in the playoffs. And I hate putting that number, that moniker out there for him, because this is what we say about our other star in this country, in this city, about Aaron Judge. In the postseason, he doesn't show up. I don't want to believe that that's Jalen Brunson. But the reason that we don't have to is that this team, I mean, Loogie's out, and, you know, bless him because his grandmother passed away, but he's right. This team has so many dogs and dudes on it that they don't need Jalen Brunson to be perfect. They just need him not to be terrible. And he's been close to terrible, but this team has so many dudes on it that don't get flustered when their star isn't showing up. Mm. That's why this Knicks team is so good.
If you would have told me, or I would have told you, the New York Knicks are going to protect home court, they're going to be up 2-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers, and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey would be clearly the two best players on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Brunson would struggle the way he has struggled over the first two games. And I would have told you the Knicks would be up 2-0. You'd have called me a damn liar. And that's why I get the concerns around Jalen Brunson. We'll discuss it. It'll be out there. Mm-hmm. But if I am a New York Knicks fan this afternoon, 16 hours removed from that epic moment at Madison Square Garden, I don't give a rat's ass.
It's not the story.
I'm on cloud nine. Because what happened in the last 27 seconds of that game, in conjunction with what happened in the final few minutes of the Islander game, and for those that share those two teams, for those that are Knicks Islander fans, and I happen to know one of them, I have no idea what your emotions are today. So we'll hear from the Knicks Islander fan throughout the program, and obviously those that are just Knicks fans and just Islander fans. But when you look at the last 30 seconds, and you look at all of the things that had to happen for the Knicks to win this game, it truly is one of the most miraculous 30 seconds you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. Let's go through it, because I don't want anything to be forgotten about these 30 seconds. Number one, I told her that too, by the way. Let's start off with Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry goes to the free throw line and misses his second free throw. Yeah. That was, maybe didn't realize it at the time, a consequential miss. And then you start to think about Joel Embiid's four missed free throws in the first half of the game, which he never does.
Right.
So Kyle Lowry misses a free throw. Don't forget that. Dante DiVincenzo, who's going to get all the love for the three-pointer, how about the fact that he bailed Jalen Brunson's ass out?
After he turned it over.
Jalen Brunson turned the ball over because of a really good defensive play by the aforementioned Kyle Lowry. Jalen's on the ground, the ball is loose, and Dante kind of sneakily gets it. And they're able to reset the offense. That's number two. Number three, Jalen Brunson showed hesitation, but finally put up a three. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I like to call it the shooter's roll, because eventually shooters will get that roll, or the bounce. The shooter's bounce as he hits a three very, very luckily. And then you've got the Sixers choking. You know, I once said losers lose. Losers find ways to lose. Last night was Exhibit A, because if you are Nick Nurse and you want to call a timeout, call a timeout. You didn't call a timeout.
Yeah, he half-assed.
He put his hands in the air.
He half-assed called the timeout.
He half-assed it. Number two, the Knicks are harassing underneath the basket. Kyle Lowry gives you one of the worst inbound passes you'll ever see. And you see Josh Hart mugging, Jalen Brunson mugging. And you know what? The official didn't blow the whistle. Good for freaking them. I know they're crying about that down in Philadelphia. Let them play. Let them play. Did Jalen grab a jersey? Maybe. Maybe then let him play. And then Tyrese Maxey, and this is the difference between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers, because the Sixers may have the top-end talent, the Knicks have the brains. Mm. Because Tyrese Maxey, who was him last night, I give him a lot of credit. That's your Jordan flu game, Tyrese. When the ball is knocked away and you're on the ground, that ain't on Nick Nurse. That's on your ass. Call a timeout. He don't call a timeout. And the Knicks keep playing. And they forced the turnover. And after Dante's miss, I know this was your favorite part of the sequence, Ihart with as important and as clutch an offensive rebound as you'll ever see.
Right. Blame that on Joel Embiid, 76er fans.
Yes!
He was standing outside of the paint trying to, I don't know who was thinking he was boxing out or just thinking the ball would come straight to him. And Ihart astutely goes right down the open paint and gets the rebound. Humongous rebound.
Humongous rebound. And then watch this next sequence. OG Anunoby. Don't look at the box score. You know better. OG with the right pass. The perfect pass. Going top of the key to DiVincenzo, who did not give a rat's ass about his miss a few seconds earlier. And cold-bloodedly drills that three. Now, if you think the story ends there, you ain't paying attention. Mm-hmm. Because the most clutch moment hadn't happened yet. The Isaiah Hartenstein block of Tyrese Maxey. Nick Nurse drew up a brilliant play. He basically said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to go half-court offense. I'm going to go backcourt to Maxey, yep. And I'm going to let him go downhill, and I'm going to do what I know the Knicks can't stop. Tyrese Maxey can get to the basket whenever the hell he wants, and they won't stop him. And guess what he did? He got to the basket, and there's Ihart with the block. And you know what annoys me? That annoys me. I just love underrated moments.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's the moment!
Of course it is.
And it's forgotten about because of the crazy sequence a few seconds earlier. Totally understand why. I get it. But how about the clutchness of Ihart, who what he gave to the Knicks last night was more offense than defense, yet he made the defensive play of the game.
So this game, to me, comes down to something that Tom Thibodeau doesn't get enough credit for. Because we've seen throughout the course of this season, guys playing a ton of minutes. Mm. A ton of minutes. Now, maybe that's what's ailing Jalen Brunson right now. Because he had the injury, missed some time. So his conditioning got off a little bit. Now he's back and his legs maybe a little heavy. He's short on some things. Who knows, right? But when you look at Josh Hart playing every single second of this game, you see Ihart, as you were just mentioning, one, getting a huge offensive rebound and then getting back to the other side of the court and making a huge block. That's legs, right? That's conditioning. And I think it gets discounted too much in the NBA, but anybody who's played pickup basketball, like you and I, you could be in good shape. We could do it for 5 minutes. That's probably about it. I remember doing a Harlem Wizards game with the local school in Florham Park, and we were just casually playing basketball. I was shot, and I'm in good shape. I run marathons. I was dead. This Knicks team is so conditioned. That's their X factor. And so when games get down to it at the end of it in crunch time, they have the legs. You see it. Right? And the 76ers don't. Mm. Tyrese Maxey even. Like, that play that Ihart blocked, he scores on that 90 out of 100 times. 95 out of 100 times, Tyrese Maxey. But he was just a little bit short. Just got a little bit too for granted, and Ihart was able to knock it away or swat it away, and OG got the rebound. So, like, there's little things that we can take away from this. Like the shot that DiVincenzo made, the rebounds, the Jalen Brunson, OG, etc. But to me, the underlying reason that they won this game is they're better conditioned, right? And it shows up in games that get intense like that down the stretch.
Well, there's moments, too. I mean, there was balls being ripped away. Mm-hmm. We saw the Knicks getting loose balls. We saw the hustle on that turnover that Maxey had. You're right. And that was one of the differences. And look, the final 30 seconds of last night's game, and it's only been 16 hours, so I understand we're still in the moment. That's one of those sequences you're never going to forget. No. If you're at Madison Square Garden, you're never going to forget it. If you were at home duly watching the Islanders collapse and the Knicks come back, you're never going to forget it. But let me say this from experience. They better win this series. Because LJ's four-point play, and the reason I bring that up is that's the last great, great moment in New York Knicks history. If you really think about it, if you look back at the last 25 years and all their playoff excursions, whether it was last year against Cleveland in the series against Miami, whether it was the first round against Atlanta, whether it was the push in 2013 to get to the second round before Indiana stopped them in Game 6, when you look at all of the postseason runs they've had, not many, over the last 25 years, nothing has come close to what we saw last night. And I'd be the first to tell you that. Last night was 1999 all over again. Last night was 90s Knicks. And what I'm happy about for the younger Knicks fan is you're sick and tired of hearing about the 90s Knicks because you weren't around for it. You don't want to hear about it anymore. You want your own 90s Knicks moments, and you have that. But let me tell you a quick story. And this is not trash talk because I don't know how you can wake up today or go to work this afternoon and not believe your team's going to win this series. I don't know how you feel that way if you're a Knicks fan, because I'd feel that way if I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, you did your business by winning two at home. Yeah, Jalen Brunson's been a mess. But the fact that you won these two games the way you did, I'd have supreme confidence I'm going to win this series. But here's the damn truth. There have been great moments in New York sports.
Mm-hmm.
Moments that make you come out of your chair. Moments that you say, oh, this is the greatest. And then if you lose, they become footnotes. They become footnotes. They don't matter anymore. Andy Chavez's catch against the Cardinals in Game 7. Oh, I'll give you a basketball one. Kevin Durant at Barclays Center, Game 5 against the Bucks, their last postseason win. You know why that crap doesn't matter? Because they didn't win the series. So for this to truly be, for the younger Knicks fan, your Larry Johnson four-point play moment, you have to seal the deal. Because here's the deal with LJ's four-point play. That was in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Indiana Pacers. Do you think for a second, if they don't win that series, if Indiana wins that series, do you think for a second anybody gives a rat's ass about an LJ four-point play? Absolutely not. So this was amazing. This was epic. This was a pinch-yourself moment. But the only way it matters, the only way it lives in history, and I've said this before, this ain't the first time I've said something like this, you have to win the series. Otherwise, it's a fart in the wind. Do you feel me, Teak?
Of course. I mean, it goes without saying. Big moments only last if there's a positive story that follows it. But, I mean, this is the type of win, though, that propels a team. And we said it after Game 1. They're doing this without Jalen Brunson playing good basketball. So you can't feel anything but ridiculously optimistic about your chances. You know, additionally, the 76ers, whenever they're down 2-0, or 0-2, I should say, they don't win.
They have never won a series in their franchise's history when down 0-2.
And so
history is on your side. Now Tiki cares about history, by the way.
No, I don't care about history, really. I'm just stating that this is the obvious. Now, what does that mean? I mean, nothing. The Knicks got to go steal one and then finish this thing in 5. Actually, probably not. Don't we want it to go to 6? Because we're going to go to the game.
If you're a Knicks fan, you're not thinking about going to the game or we going to the game. You just want to finish this. What are you talking about?
You want this thing done in 5. Right?
Four.
Seriously. I mean, you would love to sweep them, but you want this thing done in at least 5. The last thing you want to do is go back to Philadelphia and have to either tie or have them tie. And so it's one of those situations where now is the time to capitalize. You've gotten away without Jalen Brunson being a big part of the success. Now, he was the leading scorer, so it's hard to say that, but his efficiency has been terrible. But if you can win and not have him be the guy, just think when he does start scoring 40. Like, if he scores 40 or 30 or plays halfway efficiently like he was at the end of the regular season, this is not even a game.
Well, no. I see. This is the part I disagree with. Every game is a different story. Every game is a different sequence. And that's why, for that reason, it's why Jalen Brunson's struggles would not concern me. Because if I'm a Knicks fan, here's what I see, and here's the only thing that matters. You won twice. That's it. You won twice. You played 2 games against Philadelphia, and you beat them twice. I don't care how.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care why. Yeah, there are footnotes to that that make it more impressive. Like I said at the top, if I would have told you the Knicks were going to win twice, and Jalen Brunson was going to be as quiet as he's been, and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey would get theirs, I'd be stunned. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They've won twice. Now, Jalen Brunson breaks out in Game 3. There are other things that may not go your way. Josh Hart may not make 4 threes in a game in back-to-back performances. Well, so I don't think it's as simple as that.
I don't think he's going to have to.
But the truth is, it doesn't matter. They've won twice. And so anything else that concerns you out of Game 2, anything else that concerns you out of Game 1, just like anything that makes you think, oh, if Jalen scores 40, we'll sweep him, none of that matters. Every game is a completely different story. And in this story, you've won twice.
Yeah.
And you've done it with your role players stepping up. And you winning the first 2 games at home when you didn't have the 2 best players on the floor. That doesn't even make NBA logic sense. NBA logic doesn't fit that. The two best players on the floor were on Philly, and you beat them twice.
Yeah, it goes against what everybody's always said, meaning you got to have a superstar, and not necessarily a superstar as it's determined by the NBA and the MVP voting and first-team All-NBA and things, but you got to have the guy that can score 30, 35. And the 76ers have both of those guys in this series, and the Knicks don't, yet they're still winning.
And I'll tell you why. And I know this will piss off some of you older fans, but you have to hear me out on this. I'll tell you why, if the Knicks do win this series, and right now it's tough not to believe in them, why last night's sequence is actually better than the LJ four-point play. And we'll get to that coming up. Plus your calls, 877-337-6666. Plus we'll do a careful study of the double bang. Mike Breen whipped out a double bang last night. Was last night's moment worthy of a double bang? We'll give you another edition of Posted and Toasted at 3:30. We'll hear about the top 20 New York draft picks that just missed our top 20 list. And of course, more of your reaction to what was a horrible night and a great night, depending on your persuasion. An absolutely brutal gut punch for the Islander fan and euphoria for the Knick fan. 877-337-6666. What a freaking night. The horrors of the Islanders deciding with a 3-0 lead, we don't need to play hockey anymore. Let's just milk the clock out and try to hold down the Carolina Hurricanes. That worked out well.
You might be the only Islander Knick. You're not even a Knick fan, but you're a Knick season ticket holder. But you might be the only Islander fan that kept it on. Because if they were Islander Knick fans, as soon as it got, like, close, they were watching the Knicks.
What are you talking about?
Watching the Knicks.
I mean, watching that. You can watch both. We live in 2024. You got two TVs
or a phone. Have two TVs, but when it got back to 3-3, you were like, all right, we're over. We're good.
No way.
You knew it was done. You knew it was over.
Did I know it was over? I didn't have to wait long. It took about 7 seconds to know it was really over.
9 to be exact.
You know what that reminded me of? I'm going to give you an old hockey reference. Not too old. I'd say about 10 years ago, and it involves a local hockey team. Do you guys remember the Devils against the Hurricanes in Game 7, I'm going to say 2009.
No, definitely not.
The Devils were up by a goal in the final few minutes with Marty Brodeur on the ice. And the Hurricanes, in like 20 seconds, scored back-to-back goals. They not only came back and tied it, but they came back and defeated Marty and the Devils. Now, luckily for Marty, they came back a few years later. They got to a Stanley Cup final. And obviously, Brodeur won 3 Stanley Cups, so it didn't stain his resume. But in terms of the shock and the quickness of the Islanders blowing a lead, not just 3-0, but at 3-2, to give up the game-tying goal, mentally think, okay, we'll go to overtime, we'll see what happens, to then go down 4-3, and oh, by the way, 5-3. And Rod Brindamore's like, put some more in there. That was a freaking disgrace. Because watching that game, and this is for everybody, Islander fans and Knicks fans, you had a night last night. The Islanders up 3-0 basically said, we're going to kneel down and let the clock tick to zero. They had one third period shot. They had no scoring opportunities.
Right. They were dominated really in totality other than the scoring opportunities.
Unbelievable.
What was the shot differential? 39-13,
I think it was. 39-12, whatever it was.
How could you even think you're going to win?
Well, because they had a 3-0 lead, and I hoped maybe they'd hold on.
But seriously, think about the I don't want to call it luck, because it obviously is a level of skill if you're in the NBA, NHL playoffs, but you take 13 shots and you get 3 of them.
Yeah.
Right? What are the chances of that actually happening? I know what you're saying. They stop. They like they kneel down. They tried to
milk the clock.
They took 3 yards in a cloud of dust and then punted on 4th-and-1. Like, that's basically what they did.
Essentially. Now, as far as how fans handled that last night, we live in a very eclectic city. And I've always believed it's almost impossible to be diehard of basketball and hockey. Like, you may like both, you may watch both, but there's always a preference towards one. So if you are more diehard towards hockey and you're an Islander fan, you are locked in that entire game. If your preference is basketball and you're a Knicks fan, you're leaning towards the Knicks. Or you may just watch both at the same time. I have a buddy of mine, he's the only guy I know who does this, who is a diehard Islander Knicks fan. Diehard, like legitimately watches every game from both teams.
And what did he do last night?
First of all, he did dueling TVs.
Okay.
But more than that, I asked him, how do you feel right now? Like, you just witnessed as bad of a meltdown as you've ever seen from your hockey team, and you've witnessed one of these great all-time Knick moments. And his answer to me was, I'm confused. So I understand the confusion.
Now, real quick about that sequence in the Knicks game and why, if the Knicks can win this series, this could go down as better than the LJ four-point play. And I want you to be open-minded about this if you're an older Knicks fan. Number one, one little side note about the LJ four-point play, Knicks lost the next game. Mm. They actually did. They went up 2-1 on the LJ game. They lost the next game at Madison Square Garden in Indy and then won the next two. My point is, history is written by the winners and the moments.
Of course.
No one other than diehards remember much about the following few games. If the Knicks win this series, doesn't matter how, you will probably think back to game two. But here's why it eclipses the LJ four-point play. Back in 1999, as a Knicks fan, you had a lot of moments. You had a lot of big-time moments. Reggie's air ball, the Ewing game winner in game seven in 1994. Like, you had a lot of good stuff. And then you went 25 years with, I think it's Ungatz. Is that how you say it?
Ungatz.
Yes. Ungatz. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Their past 14 playoff wins, what do you really remember about their last 14 playoff wins? What do you remember about your wins against Atlanta? What do you remember against Cleveland, even in a series in which you dominated? There's nothing half as good as this.
It wasn't a moment. It was against Cleveland. It was just dominance. Well, it was just they were more physical. They bullied them. And Cleveland felt soft.
Yes.
So it almost felt like, yeah, okay, whatever. We're not worried about you. We're going to the next level.
There's
next
no epic moment outside of maybe Josh Hart's three in game one. But it's on the road. It's a little bit different. You didn't get a double bang from Mike Breen. You know what I'm saying? More on that in a little bit later. So you don't have a win in the last 25 years that even comes close to this. So for the generation of Knicks fan, like I said, who's 40 and under, I'd even say if you're 40, you were a kid in 1999. You were a baby. You were still sucking on the thing, you know?
The teat.
The teat. I didn't say it. You did. Then I repeated it. So for a generation of Knicks fans, that moment last night, it matters even more. Now, where does the script go? Where does this series go? That's going to dictate a lot. That LJ four-point play was in the midst of an unsuspected run to the NBA Finals. I don't know where this season's going to go, but here's what I do know. And I say this as still the leader of the coalition. That one's a top moment. And I'll tell you something else as the coalition's leader. Evan won a lot of coin last night. Sixers up 5, Lowry at the free throw line, plus 750 on the odds. Let's go!
Wow. Wow.
It's called emotional insurance. And you know what else
Why do you need emotional insurance when you don't care emotionally?
I do care emotionally, Tiki.
What happened?
I do care emotionally, Tiki.
I mean, are you a closet Knicks fan?
No.
Are you channeling some looginess?
No.
Like, what are you doing? Why do you need emotional insurance about a team you don't necessarily care about?
I do care about them.
Why?
Because I can't stand them. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Tiki, another refresher in how this works. When you root for the second team in town for all four major sports, you inevitably care immensely just as much as the teams do of the big brother games because you're rooting hard against
them. Oh, I cared. My night got shut down last night. Like, my wife knew, all right, here we go. I'm going into a dark room tonight. Islanders here, Knicks over here. And I care. Now, I may care for sick, perverted reasons as a hater. I'm a Knicks hater.
Okay, so if you're a Knicks hater, you want the Knicks to lose.
Correct. I'm not a man.
But you took them to win.
Yeah, it's called emotional insurance.
But why do you need the emotional insurance?
So that when I'm devastated over an outcome, at least I get money. Come on, you know this. Mm. This is the first time
I've
done
this.
Oh, so
when they actually win. Oh, I'm thinking of it the other way. Yeah. I see. You don't want them to win. You want them to lose when you'll be happy. But if they win, you're still happy because you made money.
Absolutely. You got it all. We got a lot to get to around what happened last night, including analyzing the double bang. And Joel Embiid is not only a baby, but now he's making guarantees. We'll analyze it coming up. 877-337-6666. Let's kick it off with Paul in Trumbull, Connecticut. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
I think the Knicks have exercised the Reggie Miller 6-point swing.
You think so? You think this does it?
I do. You know, let me just paint a picture, and I still relate. You know, sitting in the living room with my boys who are 20 and 17, the younger one's superstitious. He's got the kitchen chair in the living room. And that, like, that minute, that countdown, and then, like, the deflation when they're down, and they didn't give up, came back, and then that swing. And Jalen takes the three, and you got to get the bounce to go in. And then the hustle and the grit, and I heard Tiki, I think, or maybe Evan said it, I'm sorry. The conditioning, oh, that absolutely plays in.
Yeah.
They're up and down the court nonstop. You could see Embiid is grueling. He's dragging. His eyes are rolling in the back of his head, as you can see. So he's on good painkillers.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know that.
Right.
So
clearly.
I get it. But, you know, guys, really, I think that may be it. And, you know, 50 years old, I witnessed that, Reggie making that. And then the little spat between Spike. They came to, like, he went over and got in his face. And, you know, maybe it's gone now. Maybe. This
well,
is
you know it. What? You know what, Paul? For you, it's gone. And I understand that. For the younger Knicks fan, it's all beginning. Like, your demons, if you're a 25-year-old, a 35-year-old Knicks fan, is just being bad. It's not even these horrible postseason moments. It's not even being swept by Boston a decade ago or losing to Miami a decade ago or even the Roy Hibbert game. It's nothing. It's just being bad. So, yeah, for the older Knicks fan, I can see that. And I think Tiki does make a really good point about that. Conditioning matters because in the final 30 seconds of the game, the Knicks needed to execute not only physically but mentally in every aspect, and they did. And Philadelphia didn't.
Right.
Like, that's the other crazy thing. If Tyrese Maxey calls a timeout while he's on the ground, not Nick Nurse, this is on the players. If Tyrese Maxey calls a timeout while he's on the ground, and you know what's crazy? I believe any Knicks player who's on the ground calls that timeout.
Yeah.
I believe they are more aware to realize, you know what? Well, I got a timeout. Let me use it.
In defense of Tyrese against Maxey, I think he was concerned that he didn't have possession.
Oh, he had possession. He was on the ground with the basketball, and he made no attempt to call a timeout. And that's why, as great as he played yesterday, mentally, he cost him.
It was weird how the ball just kind of came out. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to call a timeout.
No, he wasn't. I'm looking at the replay. Unless he's saying it verbally, you do not see him making any signal to call a timeout.
My point is, how did the ball come free? Because he had it. Like, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are just standing there with their hands up. Like,
right.
I didn't foul him. I didn't foul him. And all of a sudden, the ball scoots out. So I think maybe he was trying to and just lost control of, like, executing in the moment. And that's one of the things that the Knicks have just, they've done so well these last two games, is that in the moment that matters, whatever that moment is, they've executed.
No doubt.
Whereas the 76ers have not.
And here's what's so kind of cool about that. The Philadelphia 76ers have plenty of postseason experience. Some of it bad, some of it losing, usually in the semifinals. The Knicks have some, like OG Anunoby certainly does, but they are appearing like the more poised team.
Yes.
They're appearing like the better coach team. They are appearing like the smarter team. And that's why when Maxey didn't get that timeout called, what I thought in my brain is if the situations were reversed, the Knicks were getting that timeout called. And look, the Knicks needed to do everything right in those 30 seconds. And they did, and Philly didn't. And by the way, with Philly, it started with the Lowry miss. Kyle Lowry, we called him lardass yesterday on the show. Kyle Lowry had as much to do with the collapse as anybody. He's missing a free throw, and he's throwing in an awful inbounds pass underneath the basket. Mr. Dog himself, Kyle Lowry. The Knicks reek as a team that knows how to win. The Sixers reek like a team that knows how to lose.
Right.
Let's go to Mike in Marine Park. Hey, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's
it's
up?
A very exciting time of year where you get absolutely no sleep.
Yes.
And if you got kids, you know what I mean. Listen, I think Draymond Green should stay out of the prediction series prediction business because it's not working out for him. Guys, that being said, guys, listen. As far as the 90s go with that, you guys made a comment. You know, the 90s was probably the best time ever for hip-hop and rock music combined. There was so many amount of awesome bands and hip-hop acts that these kids say, they don't know what they're missing.
We're losing you, Mike. But yes, the music was great in the 90s, just like my parents told me the music was great in the 60s. And their parents used to tell them music was great in the 1940s. Let's go to Josh in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo.
Just two quick points if I can get a little latitude.
Go
one on. About Tibbs. The first one, though, I want to thank Evan for coming in here today and actually speaking like an actual New Yorker. I know you're not a Knicks fan, but listening to Sal this morning, I literally had to turn the radio off.
Sal's a Knicks fan. Sal's a diehard Knicks fan. So whatever he's saying, he believes.
He was so negative, it's not even funny. Like,
negative about what?
Stop.
A win's a win.
It didn't matter to him because Jalen Brunson wasn't playing good.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know Sal's opinion on Jalen Brunson, but he hasn't played well. But the bottom line to me, this is the way I always look at things.
win the freaking game. And there's a weird part of me, believe it or not, I mentioned this a lot with the Mets recently, but it certainly works in the NBA playoffs. There's something that almost turns me on more when my team wins and my best players are not at their best, because it gives me hope that the best is yet to come. So when the Mets win without Lindor or the Yankees win without Aaron Judge, a part of me is like, hey, that's a good thing. I'm winning despite that. So the way I would look at these first two games, just my opinion, is that as a Knicks fan, I'd be even more giddy that they're winning despite Jalen Brunson shooting 28% from the field. Because it shows you that this team is still well-coached enough, and deep is the operative word, that they can still find ways to win when their star is off, which is not always common in the NBA.
Well, yeah, this is what happens when you develop other talent other than one star and depend on one star. And because when that star goes as a bad day, you just don't win. The Knicks can still win. And that's a testament. I mean, we've been saying it all season long. This season is a testament to Tom Thibodeau because it feels like he's different. Like, he evolved. He changed. He became more complete of a coach, and his guys are buying into it. Now, a lot of that is because the guys that we're talking about most of the time, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, they were taught extraordinarily well in college. I was reading this Wall Street Journal article about how the Knicks stink. Right, and Wall Street Journal, I don't know how.
Whenever I think of Knicks analysts, right. I think of Wall Street Journal.
But it was interesting, the point they were making. It was the Knicks, they stunk, and so they put a college team together. And it's true, because the fundamentals, that those three in particular, now everybody's doing their part, obviously, but those three in particular, right, they have this chemistry together, and you see it, and you feel it, and it's why in clutch moments that they don't panic, because they've been doing it since 2016 when they won two championships in 3 years.
And I think that's the key, not panic.
Yes.
In crunch time, the Knicks have executed down the stretch without the old philosophy of, let me just clear out, give the ball to my star, and magic will happen. And that's not been the case. And I said this to you a few weeks ago about Tom Thibodeau, and you certainly see it in the postseason right now. If you ask the question, how are the New York Knicks up 2-0 despite Jalen Brunson's struggles? How are they up 2-0 despite 29% from the field, 16.7% from three, and a true shooting percentage of 37%? They're there because of Josh Hart. They're there because of Dante DiVincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're there, and here's where I'll give Tom a lot of credit for yesterday. He rode I Hart late in this game.
Yeah, he did.
And I Hart gave him a little bit of a punch offensively. Like, he wasn't doing a great job against Joel Embiid. Mitch was doing a much better job against Joel. But I think Thibodeau realized, you know what? I need a spark offensively. And that I Hart floater was chef's kiss, if you will.
Yeah.
So Tom Thibodeau has done a great job putting this team in position to succeed. Now, if the broader question is, but guys, Jalen needs to be better. Yes, eventually he does.
He's going to have to be.
He's going to have to be. Maybe not to win the series, because they've already won two games without Jalen being amazing. But yeah, to ultimately get where you want to go, sure. But I don't worry about it. Because here's the difference in the way I view Jalen's struggles right now. And maybe you disagree, Tiki. I don't look at his struggles as something that's clearly permanent.
No.
I don't look at it as he can't play in the playoffs or anything crazy like that. I look at it as partially credit to Philadelphia and what they're doing defensively and the length of Kelly Oubre. A part of that is Philly. A part of that is he's just struggling.
Right.
Sometimes shooters go through slumps.
And Philly is big. Like, everyone is big.
Length, yes.
And so there's length. And so that little floater that he likes to do when he gets just inside the lane, he's probably overthinking it, right? Because that shot is wide open, because Joel Embiid is not running out. He's not pressing you, but he sits there and you're looking at him, and he's 7'2". You're like, dude, I can't shoot over that guy. And so you maybe just put a little bit extra arc on it and it throws off your rhythm. So it's those little things that he just doesn't have right. But do I trust that he's going to get it right by the time the season really gets into the flow when they go down to Philadelphia? Of course. Jalen Brunson's been a gamer his entire, Nick tenure. So I trust that he'll figure it out.
Well, and also, as of right now, and this is now a series in which all the Knicks have to do is win two more games. All right? That's all we're at now. Mm-hmm. It's not winning 4 out of 7 anymore. It's winning 2 out of 5.
Am I right about that?
You got it, Evan.
All they got to do is win.
Tremendous math.
7.
Thank you. All they've got to do is win 2 out of 5. That's all that matters. We are not talking about the Bucks. We're not talking about the Pacers. We're not talking about Boston. We're not talking about Denver. There will be a moment for that. And if the broader discussion is, yeah, Jalen needs to be good to beat Boston, no bleep Sherlock. But we ain't there yet. My focus as a fan would be, I got to win two games. How do I do it? Well, here's what's going on right now. Nick Nurse is selling out to stop Jalen Brunson.
Yep.
And they're doing a great job. And Kelly Oubre, and I mentioned this to you on Friday, has great career numbers defending Jalen Brunson one-on-one, and his length is causing problems. But here's what's also going on. Nick Nurse is daring Josh Hart. He's looking at him straight in the eye and saying, I don't believe in you. Go shoot open threes. And guess what Josh Hart has done so far in this series?
Shot and made open threes.
He has shot and he has made open threes. That's what the game plan is.
Right.
And as long as Josh Hart is responding, as long as Dante DiVincenzo steps up, as long as iHart is going 7-for-7 in the second half and hitting floaters in the lane, as long as that happens, here's what the Knicks can do to the game plan of selling out and stopping Jalen Brunson. They can double birdie the 76ers because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's how you supplement having a second star.
Right.
Everybody's chipping in.
No, you're right. And the challenge for the 76ers is that Maxey and Embiid score all of their points.
Yeah, because they have no depth, because Buddy Hield sucks.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, and this is why, and I get why we do it. You're at the bar, you're at work near the water cooler at Sports Talk Radio, and so sometimes you engage in debates that at the end of the day don't mean anything, right? Mm. So one of those debates is, how good is Jalen Brunson? Is he a superstar? I totally understand someone calling up today and saying, hey, Evan, I respect what you're saying about why they're shutting down Jalen, but superstars don't get shut down. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Right. At this point, it's a matter about winning.
It's winning.
Winning.
That's all that matters.
Jalen Brunson doesn't care if he's the reason that they win.
I don't think he does. Do you care if Jalen Brunson's the reason if they win?
No. Knicks fans don't care. They want to see victory.
That's it.
They want to see next round. They want to see conference championship. They want to see NBA finals. They don't care how they get there.
That's it. Yeah. And here's the other thing about the playoffs. It's a
you
game.
Care? What? You would care? You think they care?
I don't care, but it's a good time to mention. Knicks fans, be careful. Remember where your bread is buttered. Little insulting chanting MVP at Josh Hart last night.
Oh, you're saying they're starting to divide?
You spent all year chanting it at Brunson while he's struggling. You can't flip the switch that quick.
I mean, he could be the first-round MVP.
Okay. Let's just make up awards now. Let's calm down on who we're chanting MVP at.
He's the MVP of the game.
Right.
You got to understand what the MVP chant means. Okay, here's what the MVP chant means. And I have to admit, I raised my hand. I have even engaged in MVP chants. I've done it before.
Like for who?
Jacob DeGrom during 2021.
Well, I mean, that's deserved.
Yeah, but he's the pitcher who pitches six innings as the MVP now.
Well, it just sounds better than chanting Cy Young. Cy Young.
It's not even that, but that's a fair point. It's our way of chanting we love you. And chanting we love you is really lame.
How about we love you? We love you.
No.
We love you.
No.
We love you.
You are awesome. You are I mean, I think MVP is just our lazy way of saying, hey, we really love you. Not that you're literally the MVP.
Yeah.
But it's awkward.
It's just
when
awkward.
You,
yes, you're right,
you had
Sean.
A guy you pushed for MVP while you're struggling right now. Hey, look, no, this is our MVP.
The one chant I had an issue with, can I address a chant I had an issue with?
Go ahead.
We got to do better than F. Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why it actually bothered me. So I'm watching the game. I chose MSG last night. What a great decision by me, because Mike Breen double banged us, and I thought that was awesome. And we'll get to that coming up right around 3 o'clock. We'll analyze the double bang, because he don't give that out often. That's a rarity. But I'm watching on the MSG broadcast, and when I heard the F. Embiid chant, and obviously it's the full word, but I can't say it on the radio, I couldn't tell what it was at first. And you know what I thought it was? And I was so proud of Madison Square Garden. I was like, you know what? That's a really creative chant. And then I listened carefully and I realized it was F. Embiid. I thought they were chanting, instead of F. Embiid, I thought they were chanting, how's your knee? How's your knee? I thought that was really creative.
Oh, come on, man.
You don't like how's your knee?
No, that is even more lame than some of the chants you just went
Why
over.
Why is that lame? You're mocking him.
First of all, it's like cheering an injury.
Yeah. No, because he's playing.
Well, he's playing through an injury, limping. How's your knee? What are we playing, the game Operation? Come on now. By the way, another MVP talk needs to be had, too. Just saying. Julius Randle turns the ball over in the last 2 minutes last night.
Don't do this.
Why are you freaking Julius
Just
Randle?
Saying.
I
think you lose that game with Julius.
Net fans, leave it alone.
Let's go to Bill in Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What's up, dude? All's good.
Good, man.
I got to tell you, the highs and the lows from yesterday's game was amazing. I can't tell you, like, the emotion being a Knicks fan, how he went through that. If I could touch real quickly on Jalen Brunson because you're speaking about it,
yeah.
I feel like this is exactly the game plan that Nick Nurse went into with, was clog the lane, put Oubre, Batum, right? Let put length on Brunson, let the other guys, right, the supporting cast, beat us. At the end of the day, we're just doing exactly what they want us to do, right? Like, the only way the Sixers are going to lose is if we did this. And this is, like, their game plan. So, for me, they got to go back to the drawing board if they really have an idea.
I don't necessarily agree with you, Bill? Sometimes you have a game plan and it doesn't work, but you stick with it.
But hold on. It did work.
Well, no, I mean, it hasn't worked in that Josh Hart is 8-for-14 from three in this series.
But let's not get it twisted on what happened in this game. The Knicks were consistently down by almost double digits. It was like 7-10, and you know, it never felt like the Knicks were exploding back into the lead and running away with it like it was in game one. And it didn't. Was it Bogey?
Bogey hit the back to back threes after they cut it to one to get it back to seven. Yes.
Right. So like they eventually took the lead, but it was late. I think Nick Nurse's plan actually worked exactly how he wanted it but the challenge goes back to what I was talking about in the first segment. This Knicks team can afford to keep those guys out there. They can keep their best players on the court because they're conditioned to do so, and they can still perform. Whereas, you know, the 76ers, Embiid he's limited, right? He can't play 48 minutes. There's no chance he can do that.
And look what he did in the fourth quarter. How many rebounds did Joel Embiid have in the fourth quarter of this game?
Right.
I think the answer is zero.
Exactly.
A big fat zero.
And that's Joel Embiid, who's 7'2". He's the biggest dude you've ever seen.
I agree. And I think the other aspect is that they are going to continue to dare Josh Hart. Mm-hmm. They are. And look, late in this game, Josh Hart had a wide open three that Nick Nurse dared him to take, and Josh came up short on it. Now, look, I'm not killing Josh Hart. The guy's only missed like six threes in this entire series, but that game plan's going to stay the same because I think what Nick Nurse is going to believe in Philadelphia, and there's an old adage in the NBA about this, that role players play much better at home than they do on the road. So here's a thing to keep an eye on, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is an abomination. And look, I have reevaluated my own NBA watching over the last 3 years after watching Buddy Hield over the first two games. Because I thought Buddy Hield was good at basketball. I really did. And then I watched him try to play basketball, and he's tentative, and he's scared, and he stinks. But here's the giant J-Lo-esque but here. When you go home in the postseason, role players play differently. And what Nick Nurse is banking on is that Dante DiVincenzo in Philadelphia, I know he went to Villanova, ain't the same guy at Madison Square Garden. That Buddy Hield in Philadelphia isn't the same guy at Madison Square Garden. Do I necessarily believe that? We'll see. But one thing I do know is their game plan against Jalen Brunson and their game plan against, hey, I dare Josh Hart to beat us, that ain't going anywhere.
No, and it shouldn't, but I trust the Villanova kids. I really do.
So the series is over is what Tiki said.
Well,
Tiki's announcing the series is over. Go ahead.
Don't they play at Wells Fargo?
Yeah.
Villanova?
Do they?
Didn't they?
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
it might be a St. John's thing where they play some of them.
Right. Maybe it's some of them.
Why would that matter? They haven't been at Villanova in like 8 years.
It's home. We own this joint. That's what they're going to say.
No. You know why it's home? You know why it's home? Why? I got news for everybody. I'm very up on this kind of crap. Went on Ticketmaster this morning just to check out the resale market for Philadelphia 76ers New York Knicks game 3. Mm-hmm. Prices are dropping like a stone.
Why are they?
Because the Sixer fan is abandoning the ship like it's Titanic.
Wow.
Because they're like, I don't know.
The football fan would never do that. Basketball fan is doing that.
Well, because basketball's best of seven. Football's a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And trust me, have you heard MetLife Stadium for some of these late season Giant games? They abandoned ship.
Calm down.
I mean, am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong.
But here's the good news, Knick fans. What are you doing Thursday night? Got any plans? Because if you go down and make that short little drive to that just infested, disgusting city known as Philadelphia, you got a chance to sit wherever the hell you want and take over Philadelphia. So Tiki could be right when he says, they're going home. I'm coming home. They may be going home to Knick fans, not the Villanova fans.
I mean, it could be Villanova fans in there as well.
Yeah, but stop. No one does that. Does anyone really root for their college over their NBA team?
Well, if you have an affinity for especially if you were in school about the same time and you watched them win two championships, of course you're going to root for those guys.
Did you see the facial express that the big Ragu made after he hit that three? It looked like he was constipated. Like he growled into that. I'm not ripping him. He's a fellow redhead. I admire him. More of your calls coming up next. Plus, we analyzed the double bang that Mike Breen gave us last night. It was something special. Plus, another edition of Posted and Toasted coming up at 3:30. 877-337-6666.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.